do not normally preach topical messages. I'm a verse-by-verse expositor type preacher. But I have been deeply burdened because of experience in the last few weeks. We own some properties in Kansas City, and we're not happy with how the management company has been taking care of things, and so we had to go and take care of some things ourselves and try to turn things around and make it at least even, if not profitable. One of our tenants was looking out her window at her neighbor, boyfriend, who lives with her neighbor, girl. Right there, you know something's wrong. Is it right to live without marriage? He comes out mad at his girlfriend with a baseball bat, and the car out front, he just bashes the windows, every window, bash, bash, breaking the windows all to pieces, and then other parts of the car too. This is a car that the girlfriend was thinking about selling to my tenant. My tenant knew whose car it was. He looks up and sees her in the window over there, videotaping him. He didn't take to that too kindly. A few minutes later, he busts in the front door with her nephew, 8 years old, from the front yard, holding him by the shoulder with a gun to his head. Angry that she is videotaping him doing what he wants with his car, he said. The husband comes to the rescue. They almost get into a fist fight. He doesn't shoot, of course. He knows that put him in prison the rest of his life for a death penalty. So talk about family problems. I don't know if they heard sirens or what. In that neighborhood, you hear sirens all the time. He left, came back a little while later with an AK-47 into the house, ran everybody out of the house. Then, according to the neighbors across the street that heard the explosion, he had come back with a Molotov cocktail gasoline bomb, threw it in the window, exploded, and burned the house, at least the bedroom and parts of the house, our house, where our tenants lived. Then he ran off. Now, where do you suppose he's residing today? Neighbors saw who it was, knew who, I mean, he's in jail. He's going to spend some time probably in penitentiary. We move in, and we're concerned about our safety, our well-being, because this man who is now in jail has relatives living down the street. The relatives, they stand up for each other. It's what they call gang mentality. They have gangs. If they don't have a close-knit family, they have close-knit gangs. And they stand up for each other. You kill one of ours, we'll kill one of yours. You beat up one of ours, we'll beat up one of yours. They don't believe in letting the law, having the police take care of things, letting the judicial system take care of justice. They take it into their own hands. It just perpetuates that way, doesn't it? Round and round and round and round we go. What kind of neighborhood is that? We've got renters in some of our houses in those kind of neighborhoods who say, I love the house, I love the deal, but we can't stand the neighborhood. We're at risk. We've been told we should not live in our house while we're fixing it up, but we do. We make friends with the neighbors and try to, the other day I mowed lawn, our lawn, and the field next to us and some of the neighbor's property. We try to do go above and beyond to show that we care about people and we want to make this neighborhood better. There's a sign on the street corner that says, violence, what does it say? Stop the violence. They just think violence is the cure to things. That's the cause of things. Sometimes violence isn't just in the physical. Sometimes violence is the way we speak to each other. The way we treat each other, the way we don't treat each other. We need, our expectations are not always met. We need to learn to forgive. To forgive. Forgiveness is hard sometimes, especially when it involves serious things like the man who caused my son to have a motorcycle accident last year. We still don't know if my son will ever have kids. Tremendous injuries. The people who, the fact that our son Paul is now with the Lord, his twin brother, when he was born, got colon bacterial infection and died at the hospital, along with that season of time, 100 other babies. Something was wrong. But what do we do about it? We have to accept and forgive. God expects Christians to learn to forgive. Today I'd like to speak on the subject of forgiveness. It may be hard, but what does God say about forgiveness? First of all, why does God expect us to forgive? Because that's the way God is. God forgives. Aren't you glad God has forgiven you of your sins and lets you to go to heaven instead of where you deserve to go? If you've accepted what Jesus has done for you upon that cross, you're going to heaven, something you don't deserve. That's the grace and mercy of God. That's the goodness of God. Because you, by nature, want to live your own life separate from God. A lot of people in this world want to deny God. They want to live as if there is no God. They want to do everything they can apart from what God wants them to do. It's because of the sin nature we all have. But God forgives. Mark 2, verse 7. Notice the word forgive. Luke 7, 49. David says, who is this who is who can forgive sin? Luke 5, 21. Pharisees begin to reason. Who can forgive sins? Psalm 25, 18. Look at my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. God can do that. But you are God, ready to pardon. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Psalm 134. There is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. God is a forgiving God. Amen? I'm so glad. Let's go on with some more verses. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. For you, Lord, are good and ready to what? Forgive. Abundant in mercy to all who call on you. Psalm 99, 8. You answered them, O Lord, our God. You were to them, God, who forgives. That's a name for God. You were to them God who forgives. Though you did take vengeance on their deeds. Daniel 9:9, to the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness. Psalm 103, 3-4, who forgives all of your iniquities. Jeremiah 33:8, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. I will cleanse them from their iniquity they've sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities that they've transgressed against me. God is a forgiving God. God is a forgiving God. These verses that we just looked at, I just want to make a few points out of them. Number one, God is the final judge. Sometimes we want to be our own judge. You know, Judge Judy isn't the judge. God's the judge, yes? God is the creator. He set it up. The universe, the world, how things are to operate, and it's to be operated his way. And if it's not, we're going to give account to him. He's the judge. He deserves to be the judge. He is the judge. He's the final judge. He has the right to judge. He has the right to forgive when and whom he chooses. Secondly, God forgives. His forgiveness is consistent with his character. A lot of these verses we just looked at, I'm not going to go back and look at them again, but they have to do with, they come alongside God's grace, His mercy, His kindness, His patience, His faithfulness to His word, things like that. God forgives because that's the kind of character God is, the kind of person God is. Next, God forgives, and it's justifiable, even though people just, you know, you say, well, how come He forgives these and not these? And we said before, God is the judge. He gets to choose. But next, God can forgive me and you of our sins because He intervened and paid the sin penalty. Agree? He came to earth. He became a man. And then He died on the cross, taking the penalty of sin, death, for me and for you. That is why God can be just in saying, I forgive you. You get to go to heaven. And these other people say, well, not, how, you never accepted the gift of my dying in your place. These people did. They go to heaven. They accepted the gift of eternal life. They trusted what I had done for them. You didn't. You denied me. You continue to live your selfish, sinful living. God is just in forgiving those whom He has chosen to forgive, those of us who have accepted Him as Savior. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. We have redemption, why? Because of His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's through His blood. Mark 26:28, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We just participated in the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, remembering the blood symboled by the cup that we took of. Remembering the blood. That's an essential part of our redemption. All these verses talk about that. We, in Him, Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22, according to the law, almost everything was purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. It's an essential part of our faith that Jesus came and died and shed His blood for us, thereby giving God the freedom to forgive us. Next, God does not have to forgive everyone. I already shared, there's some over here on the one side that's going to go to heaven, and there's some on the other side who are not going to go to heaven. God doesn't have to forgive everybody. Even though He died on the cross and His blood, His gift, His death was big enough, it could have spread over the whole universe. Everybody of all time. But God chose in His sovereign plans that people had to accept what He did. Have you accepted what He did? Look at some of these verses. Numbers 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But He by no means clears the guilty. There are some people, the iniquity of which they're going to bear, even the results of their sins going to pass on to their children 3 and 4 generations later. Exodus 34:7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin. By no means clearing the guilty. Almost same thing as the other verse. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, but let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him. God has mercy on those who recognize they're wicked, unrighteous, in two areas, incidentally. Notice, one is His way, how He lives, and the other is in His thoughts. Even your thinking is wicked. Both are sins. God's aware of both, and we will be judged for both our actions and even our thoughts. Boy, that expands our sin pot real big, doesn't it? God wants us to recognize our sinfulness and accept what He has done to provide for. Jeremiah 5:1, run to streets of, and look and see, is there anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth? I will pardon her. God's looking for people who want the truth. And incidentally, where do we find the truth? I have a book here in front of you. You have a book perhaps on your lap or in your cell phone. What is this book? It's the truth. It's the Word of God. We need to seek in it for what God wants for us to know. People who decide, oh, I don't need the Bible, I'm going to toss it away, and I'm going to believe what I want to believe, I'm going to do what I want to do, I don't want to answer to God, I'm going to deny, I'm going to live as if there's no God. At the end of life, what are they going to discover? They made some terrible mistakes with that attitude and those decisions. They're going to stand before that God, and they're going to be very, very, very sorry. God wants us to understand that God is a forgiving God. God's looking for people seeking the truth. Jeremiah 5:7, your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. They took on other gods instead of the real God. And they've committed spiritual adultery. They've committed adultery. It's as if they've assembled themselves in troops in the harlot's house. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, they may receive forgiveness of sins. Who's going to receive forgiveness? Those who turn from darkness to the light. Those who turn from Satan's power to the powers God has available to us. So God wants us to be doing those things. God expects us to acknowledge our sins and turn to Him in our hearts and in prayer to get forgiveness. Psalm 86, verse 5. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you. In God's plan, and I understand the principles of election and God's doing and man and man's responsibility and man's doing in this matter of getting saved. But in this plan that God has put together, you are responsible to call unto God. You are responsible and will be held accountable. And God will show mercy to those who do call upon God. 1 John 1:8-10, we're very familiar with 1 John 1:9. Let's say it together. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, I'm not hearing you. Let's say it together a little louder. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to confess. He wants us to come to Him and say, God, I'm guilty. That is not something that you do once in your life and that's now you did it. If you only sinned once in your life, I guess that would be okay. The fact is, we sin every day. So we need to every day be coming to God and confessing and acknowledging and understanding, God, what I just said wasn't right. God, what I was just thinking wasn't right. God, what I just watched, God, help me to get it right. Help me to get it turned around. God, I need you to turn my life around and get me living to please you, to love you, to adore you. The last song we sang before I came up here, God, I love you. I adore you. I lay my life down before you. Do we really? For a few minutes while we're in church, maybe while we're thinking about it. But all too easily, we live our lives our way, how we think, apart from the thinking and ways of God. And God wants us to do some adjustments in our lives, in our thinking and in our actions, in our words. And those need constantly adjusting. Matthew 6:12 says, Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. Part of the Lord's Prayer is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Exodus 10:17. God, there it says, plead with the Lord your God. God wants us to come like begging. God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me and help me get it right. get this straightened out in my life? Are we coming to God like we should, when we should, as often as we should, about sin and seeking His forgiveness? God is a forgiving God. And God wants us to acknowledge our sin and come to Him for that forgiveness. 2 Chronicles 6:39, God says we will hear from heaven. It says those people will hear from heaven, your dwelling place, that their prayer and their supplication. Let's see, where are we? Their prayer and their supplication. Let your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to the prayer. God wants people praying about their sins and asking God for forgiveness. 2 Chronicles 7, my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer. That was part of the dedication of that temple where God expected the Israeli people to come and pray and meet with God. And they still consider that place holy. The Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. God wanted people to come and wail before God, pray, plead, beg, seek His face. Are you doing it? Or is that something you did it once and you don't need to again? God wants us constantly coming back to God, seeking His forgiveness. 1 Kings 8:36, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land. Notice that when we come to God in prayer and seeking His forgiveness, then it's when God teaches us things that we otherwise would not have learned. God's waiting for us to be ready to learn the good way in which they should walk. 1 Kings 8:39 and 50. Then hear in heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and act and give to people. Next verse, verse 50. And forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion. So God wants to forgive. He wants people to come to Him, and He will hear your prayers. You know, when you have a problem between you and somebody else, let's just say you're married. You and your spouse just have a squabble. You have a difference. You have an issue. You just offended her, or she just offended you. Do you care to talk about anything else at this point in time? Until that matter is resolved, right? Isn't it the same with God? Let's don't ignore the blatant problem that stands between us. Let's immediately take care of issues. A hint for those who are married. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Never let things stay unresolved. Get them cured, fixed, quickly as possible. God is waiting to hear and to forgive. Hear, forgive. Hear, forgive. Jeremiah 36. Come to the house that everyone may turn from his evil way. Then I'll forgive their iniquity and their sin. Something comes before forgiveness. Coming to God, turning to God. You need to be doing that. We need to be doing that. All right, where are we? This is the tough part of the message. God demands that we forgive people of their sins against us. What I've been sharing before is pretty basic to Christianity. God forgives. God wants us to confess our sins. Even after we're saved, God wants us to keep on coming back to God, getting right and getting adjusted and living right, better and better and better, becoming more and more Christ-like. That's Christian growth. But here's where the rubber meets the road. How about our relationships with each other? God demands that we forgive people of their sins against us. Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I don't have time to look to the context of each of these verses, but let me just say there's a sense in which somehow you're not going to get the forgiveness of God that you would have gotten if you don't forgive people their trespasses. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Same thought. Matthew 18, Peter came to him and said, Lord, and this is interesting, Matthew 18 is right after the verse that says, it talks about church, this, if somebody offends you and you try to take care of it, and then it doesn't get taken care of, you and him, then try to get a brother or two to come and help you resolve it. And some, maybe with somebody else helping to resolve it, now we can get the guy to understand what he did that's offensive and wrong and what he needs to do about it. But if it still doesn't happen, then you take it to the church. And then the next statement is, and if he doesn't even listen to the church, he's so hard against, he's so stubborn and unwilling to admit he ever does anything wrong, and then the church needs to put him out in church discipline. Be treated like a tax collector, a publican, I mean, looked down on and put out. In that same context, a whole bunch of verses says that's not the way it's supposed to happen. Peter says, well, Lord, then, how many times should I forgive somebody? Seven times? I mean, that'd be pretty liberal on my part to forgive him if he's offended me seven times. And Jesus said, no, Peter. 70 times seven. In other words, however many times he offends you, you just keep forgiving. You don't retain the right to not forgive. You must forgive. In fact, he ends the parable with a parable talking about an unjust steward, servant, who refuses to forgive. And the end, last verse of that says, God will torture those who fail to forgive his brother of his trespasses against them. Will torture for failure to forgive. Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you. Luke 11:4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Luke 17:3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Tell him what he did wrong. And if he repents, forgive him. Again, I wish I had time to go into context more of each of these. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, talking about somebody who needed forgiveness. It says, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. The church had exercised discipline against somebody, but they went too far. They went beyond what they should, and that Christian was being hurt. He says, you need to forgive him and comfort him, lest he be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Colossians 3:12-13, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Remember we talked about forgiveness with God went with certain qualities of character. Same with us. We're to take on these qualities, these godlike qualities. And with that, we're to be bearing one another and forgiving one another. Bearing one another. That means we got issues with each other we got to bear up with. We got to take the good and the bad with each other. My land, you get married, you're going to get the for better or for worse, right? Within you join a church, for better or for worse, there's good and bad. There's no perfect people. But we're to bear up with each other. And when each other has problems, you're to come alongside and help bear those burdens together, including forgiveness when they offend you. The next phrase, and forgiving one, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, and it's the if that happens, when somebody has a complaint against somebody, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. Verse 13. Not an option, is it? We don't have the option of forgiving when we want to. Give me some time, and when I feel like it, I'll forgive you. It's a command. Now, I'll tell you what, a lot of commands, you will feel better after you obey because you did obey. Sometimes you have to forgive somebody when I don't want to forgive you, but I forgive you because God makes me. God leads me. God commands me. God is telling me I've got to forgive you. Now, if you come to them with the wrong spirit, they're going to realize you don't really forgive them. So be careful. You got to look for God for the grace and the words and the timing and to forgive them. But when you forgive somebody, even though you don't want to, you'll soon be glad you did. I did what God wanted. I followed the Spirit of God instead of my own spirit. God expects us to forgive. By His power, His grace, His Spirit, we can do it. Yes? That's right. And that should be the Christian way of life. Luke 6:37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. What goes around comes around. If you're a forgiving person, you know what? People will tend to forgive you better, too. If you don't forgive people for what they've done offensive to you, when you've offended them, they're not going to want to forgive you. Luke 17:4, if he sins against you 7 times in a day, then 7 times in a day returns to you and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. Doesn't matter how many times he does it. And that's one of the problems. Sometimes we as Christians expect perfection immediately. When you get saved, did you become exactly like Jesus that day? In God's perspective, knowing the future, there's a sense in which maybe you did. But in reality, you're still you, sinful you, saved by the grace of God. And step by step by step, you are to grow in your Christian walk with the Lord. And in those steps, you're going to misstep. You're going to fail. And you're going to have to go to God for forgiveness. You're going to fail with people. You're going to have to go to people for forgiveness. And people are going to fail you, and you need to forgive them. And you can do it as God gives you the grace and the power to do that step by step in life. Next, God expects those who are forgiven to learn from that experience and to teach others about obeying God. Luke 24:46-47, he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. This message of God's forgiveness is to continue to be preached, or to declare that message of forgiveness. Acts 10:43, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. The prophets witnessed that through his name. They heard this message. Acts 13:38, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. This message was preached. God's always ordained that there be people preaching the message. Not just preachers behind a pulpit. You, behind a desk, in line at the store, in your house. Preaching, as it were. Sharing the message of forgiveness. God expects us to be sharing the message. Those who are forgiven, we're to learn that message and we're to share it with others, teach it to others. Nehemiah 9:17, they refused to obey God. They were not mindful of the wonders that you did among them, and they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow in anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. God wants people to learn from mistakes. They refused to obey, and they weren't mindful of things God had done. God wants us to obey and learn, be mindful to do what God is teaching us. You know, the saddest thing is people who make mistakes and don't learn from it. The wisest people are those who will learn from somebody else's mistake instead of having to make them all themselves. Yes? 2 Chronicles 6:27. Hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, the people of Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk. Notice the connection of forgiveness with teaching them now how to walk. Because we have been forgiven, we were walking this way over here, and now we realize it was wrong. We repent. That means to turn back to God with God's help. Turn the other direction, and now I'm going to walk over this way, a whole different way. God wants us to learn and to teach others to learn with us how to walk, the way in which they should walk. So learn about God's works, learn about God's ways in which we should walk, how we should live, and learn about God's character, and try to live those things yourself. Let's personalize as we conclude the message today. Let's apply these truths. Number one, continually acknowledge, be admitting, confessing your sins before God. That's not something you do at night once a day. You should be doing that regularly throughout every single day of your life. Always be thinking, God, what are you thinking about what I just thought? What are you thinking about what I just said? What are you thinking about what I just did? What are you thinking about what I'm watching here on TV? What are you, God? I confess my sinfulness. Help me. Don't grow cold and indifferent towards God because of allowance, tolerance of sin in your life. Next, appreciate God's forgiveness because of His great love and grace and patience and forgiveness and so forth. Appreciate, honor, glorify God because of His forgiveness to you. Give God respect, worship, and honor because of His forgiveness and toleration of you. Sometimes I look at my life and think, God, why do you tolerate it? Why don't you just bring me home? Finish what you began. Get it done with. This is so slow and painful. Next, learn to forgive others as God commands us to do. Oh, incidentally, on that other point, appreciate God's forgiveness because of His character. Don't abuse God's love, His grace, His patience, His forgiveness. And some people think, well, God's going to forgive me anyway. I'm going to go to heaven anyway. So what doesn't matter if I live sinful and wicked in the way I want? No, going to heaven's not the only thing that you're going to value when you get there. Your place with God, how you honored God or disrespected God, it's going to matter when you get there. You're going to wish to God, literally, that you lived as righteous, perfect a life as you possibly can in this life, every minute and every day of your life. Understand that. Do you comprehend? Is it sinking in? Then live it. Live for God as righteous as you possibly can. Confess every impurity, every defect as much as possible, and get it right. Let's grow. Let's keep growing. Learn to forgive others as God commands us to do. That's the hard one. Some of you today need to think about somebody that you have struggled with. Maybe it's that neighbor. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's somebody in your own home. Maybe it's a family member. I've talked with people who've never talked with their brother or sister for years because of an offense in the past. How sad. That's pitiful. That's pathetic. God wants us to be forgiving people. And if you're a Christian, you ought to be taking that step of forgiveness towards anyone who has offense between you and him or her. So learn to forgive as God commands us. And lastly, I'd urge us all to pray about these issues of forgiveness. Figure out which one in your life needs the most help right now. Maybe all three of them. Maybe you can handle all three of these points. And today, you're going to pray about it as we conclude and say, God, help me to get it right. Help me to love you and adore you and appreciate you more for your forgiveness. God, help me to confess more quickly, more often, more consistently my sins against you. God, help me to forgive people. And while we are at it, we might also ask God to help us be less offensive to people so they don't have to forgive us so much. Yes? Goes both directions. Full circle. Heavenly Father, I do pray for all of us today. I pray for myself first, for my wife and I, for our relationship with each other, with you, with our kids. Lord, help us to not be offensive. There's a touching Sunday school lesson today, a video about spending time with our kids. Time is so precious, they're quickly going to be beyond and outside of our homes. We've got one getting married this Saturday. God, help us to care about relationships with you, with others, unsaved and saved, close and remote. Help us, Lord, to be about the business of forgiveness, declaring the gospel message of forgiveness, appreciating the message of forgiveness, seeking your forgiveness as a Christian day by day, and sharing the message of forgiveness, witnessing, telling people how they can be saved from hell, from damnation, from judgment, helping Christians to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and becoming less and less offensive and more Christ-like. Help us all, Lord, to help each other, to help ourselves in the message and lessons of forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If somebody does want to talk,